Life gives you to run around, you say. You wanna know how much dues must you pay? Well, you can have what you want to. Where there's a will, there's always a way. Keeping your eyes on that mountain top, one step at a time. Don't ever, ever stop. Keep on when your mind says quit. Dream on till you find you're living it. I'll be right by your side. Yeah, baby, keep on. Don't stop till you win your prize. Lean on all the love that's in my eyes. You're a diamond to me. Yes, you are. Shine on. Shine on.
Blues and folk singer Eric Bibb, son of folk singer Leon Bibb, who also was a theatrical performer. He was also the godson of Paul Robeson. And the tune is titled Shine On. It's from his 2014 album, Eric Bibb in 50 Songs. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're back. Hopefully, we can reach out to each other today. I'm told that we're good to go. But I wanted to just comment on the fact that today, the great chef, Leah Chase of New Orleans, is going home today. She had a major restaurant in New Orleans, she and her husband, Dookie Chase, and she died last weekend, really over the weekend, at the age of 93. And the entire city is in mourning because she was such a fixture in New Orleans, not just as a chef, but as a mover and shaker, a person who participated in building and restoring the community time and again, and who became emblematic of the struggles of the city. So she died, and such outpouring of grief. But today is her grand home going, and my thoughts are with her today, having done a splendid job, both in partnership with her husband and as the proprietor, the sole proprietor of Dookie Chase's when her husband died, a very loved person. And that's what we need, people like that, who catalyze change, who energize people to see possibilities and then to pursue them. Well, since we're connecting, since our phone situation, we were out for a week, a little bit more than a week, but here we are. And I guess the best thing to do would be to start with you and what you are thinking, just to cover the period that we weren't in touch, literally in touch with each other. At 888-874-4888, there's a lot to talk about, but I want to clear up the backlog first. So let me know what's on your mind from things that you wanted to discuss before the big move, and we weren't able to because, of course, things had to be ripped out and gutted and put back in place in the new venue. So that's been done, and I'm hoping that you can go back for the time that we weren't able to connect and follow those issues that you thought were very important then, but didn't have an opportunity to comment publicly on them. So 888-874-4888 is the number. And we'll clear that out first and then get to some other issues. You may recall that I did for the whole week, I talked about where our collective survival lies, and it lies in community. And I couldn't help but think about it, of course, with the death of Leah Chase. That's a perfect example of how much one person can do to bring a whole community together and to bring the community through rather trying times and to keep it together. I'm hoping that that spirit continues and that people really pay attention to the importance of community. All right, what have you to say? And if I'm not seeing anything on my board, I wonder what's going on there. So 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And let's do some get to the backlog before we get to the issues of what is going on now. It's really crazy what's going on now. It really is crazy. The country seems scattered. It seems torn apart. It seems not at all together. The Democratic Party seems the same thing. It's just all over the place. This idea of fragmentation taking over everything. So in the midst of all of that, there are important issues to be dealt with. Your thoughts on those issues. Okay, so let me ask the studio, what's going on? I don't see names. Okay. All right. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. I thought that having had a little respite, you'd be springing to the phones today to get said a whole bunch of things that you didn't get said. But you're kind of slacking off there. You're taking it easy. You're absolutely confident that you will be able to get your turn. But don't be so, don't presume, because when the traffic picks up, you know how it goes. It just picks up, and we got to go with the traffic. Okay, so let's kind of cap off where we left off. We talked about community. We talked about ways in which we must work, and we could only see a future if we see community in it. Without it, we're done. We're absolutely done. And we're heading closer and closer to that point, I'm afraid to say. We have a sense somehow that things will all work out. No, don't have a sense about that, if you don't mind. You know, don't take it for granted. Willie from Brooklyn, you start us off today.
Oh, good afternoon, beloved.
Hello, Willie. How are you?
It was really nice seeing you. I was so happy to see you and the rest of the family.
And at the community church.
Yes.
Thank you.
And the rest of the family. I know. You know, I was a little disappointed because a lot of people, I wanted to bring a lot of people with me, but it was Sunday. And, you know, a lot of people, they were going to church. You know, they have to do what they have to do. So, yeah. You know, I couldn't get more people to come with me. But we were very happy that I brought one person with me. And meeting the people that you hear on the radio, it was nice to see them.
I had a great, great time. And I was so happy at the turnout. Because, as you said, it was Sunday, but we had a very good turnout, and just the whole idea of being together was enough for me. And I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed seeing you. I enjoyed seeing so many people who call in, able to put the names to the faces. And some, of course, I knew for a long time. So it was a really good time, a really good time.
Yes. You know, I was thinking about something. The last three programs you did on rebuilding, those were excellent programs, you know, because I was listening to them over the weekend, and you were right on point on those programs, you know. And, you know, just the work you're doing, I was a little bit disappointed because, you know, I thought, you know, there would be a lot more people. Just like when the minister spoke, you know, you'd have to go to Madison Square Garden, because that's what I thought. Because the value I see in you and your commitment and to people, to teaching and sharing what you know, you know, I was kind of disappointed because I'm saying,
well,
you know.
Not. I mean, no, it was, to me, it was a very good turnout. For the fact, as you said, it was a Sunday, it was a very good turnout. And I always celebrate the people who are there. I don't worry about the people who are not.
No,
the people who are there were beautiful.
What I'm saying, for me, I'm not speaking for anybody else. I'm saying, look, the commitment that you share for us, the dedication, because you have never missed one program, and the value of the information. To me, you're like Marcus Garvey, Malcolm, any one of them. And it shows me that we really don't care as a people. We really don't care because we should grasp the opportunity just to see you, just to, because you, in my judgment, you're already written in the Mr. Books, and we don't even appreciate that. So that alone, in my mind, shows me where we're going, because we're so caught up. I mean, caught up in so many different things, you know. Because there are people that I called, and I know it was a little difficult to come out because the only day you have off, you know, it was a struggle. But for people of your caliber, I think we should put everything. This is what I think. I know you feel different, and we disagree. That's why I don't listen to you.
No, I've always been, whatever we have to work with, make the best of it. And I was pleased. I was very pleased. I was very pleased with David, who was a chairman of the Global Affairs Committee, who invited me. He was happy about it. And I think we did well. We did very well.
Yes. And, you know, my friend that came with me, he loves Sister Ali. So I said to her, I said, yeah, she's just a beautiful sister. But I said, you know, she is going to jail. She said, why you say that? I said, well, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Mandela, Mumia, all of them. And she's walking down the same road. I love her and I respect her, but that's what's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? Because she is raising the issue of injustices in a society like this. You know, you have to be speak the truth, but speak it quietly. She's too loud. You know, I do that.
Let me ask you to expand a bit on what you called from the topic of community.
Uh-huh.
What do you think? What do you say it is important about it?
Well, in a community, we have, just like you said, we have to work a community is one in which each individual works for the benefit of all. That in my judgment, that is what a community is. Everything that we do, it should benefit the entire group.
Mm-hmm. Do you think we can do it?
Well, Sister Beatrice, whether we want to or not, conditions will force, whether we choose to or not, organize or not, condition will force us to. So I'm not even worried about that anymore. Because I'm already seeing it. Because when you look at the suffering in the streets all over the place and the injustices, we have no other choice. Because we have to survive. That's the bottom line.
So you're seeing it happening one way or the other. Either we get in front of it, or we would be forced at some point to deal with the situation that we face.
I'm sorry, say it again.
I said either we get in front of the problem while we can, while there's still a little bit of time, or we will have no choice but to deal with it when it comes upon us.
Well, I think that when it comes upon us, that is when we will do it. But as far as that, everybody is suffering in their own little way and on their own little corner. So no one really knows that it's across the board. Everybody's suffering. So everybody's thinking separately, not collectively. So Gary spoke about the same thing. The pain is not harsh enough yet. When everybody feels that pain, then we will understand that we must organize. Just to stay alive and function. Simple. But I'd like to say, Sister Julie, your assistant, she was a woman.
Yes.
She's just a beautiful person. I love that woman. Because everything you need, we needed to know about you or for you to do, she was there to fulfill that need. And it was just
wonderful. Yes, it was well. She did an excellent job of getting everything in order.
Right.
So it made it, everything ran very, very smoothly. I was happy to see you. I was happy to spend even, you know, those last moments on the steps.
I was
the envy, I think, of Manhattan, surrounded by all these incredible men. And we're still talking. We couldn't stop talking.
It was very nice for us to discuss things among ourselves, you know. And,
yes.
You know, because speaking to you on the radio, I mean, it's not an easy thing to do. And there are a lot of people that would love to call, but, you know, speaking to you, you know, whenever we speak and we're not, because you know, I'm not right, so I know in my stupidity you're going to straighten me out. So people are intimidated by calling. That's all. But I know there are a lot.
No, they're intimidated because, as I explained, even at Sunday, people are not asked to participate. They're not invited into the conversation. There's no sustained history of ordinary people just being asked what they think and to participate in analysis and to, you know, give some kind of instruction based on their own experience and expertise. So people have become intimidated over the years because, like I said, they've been locked out. And that's one of the things that we're trying to correct. We want people invited in. Come on into the conversation. And my job would be to, you know, prod you here, poke you there. So that's what we're trying to do. But thanks so much for getting us started today. And
okay,
let's keep moving. Thank you.
Thank you.
888-874-4888. I'm getting a message that we're asking for your patience. We still have a couple of things to refine, so we can only see one person at a time. But that's okay. We're troopers. We can handle it. We know what to do. 888-874-4888. This is a very important aspect of what our dilemma is. And that is, how do we get the full picture from the point of view of the people? And that is a challenge in the sense that media outlets are used to just cutting people out. They do it automatically. I don't think they even necessarily being evil. It's just that they've been doing this for so long, it's automatic. No matter what the issue, the people don't get a chance to say what they're thinking, what they're feeling. And yet, that to me is the most important thing as to why we have media outlets that serve our needs. You've got to involve people. You'd be surprised what you get when you take the time to listen to people's ideas, to people's thinking. I mean, they are experiencing life every single day from all these different angles, and we have so much to learn. But it is even surprising to them that people would make room to accommodate them and their thinking and their views, because that is not in the grand tradition of the so-called media, not in this country. The people are not the ones who get to say things. The power elite gets to say whatever they want, whenever they want. We have the phenomenon now of media actually creating people who they have propped up as the experts, the reigning experts, on any number of matters and subjects. So if you're calling in today, I'm told, just be a little patient. It's getting there, and we'll be able to accommodate you. That's why the calls are slow in coming in, because there's only one line available, and it's taking calls right now at 888-874-4888. I want to just get people moving. Get us moving. Get us thinking and get us moving, because we are in a very precarious position, all of us. Nobody is better insulated than another, because even if they are, the way things are going, eventually it would involve everybody. And I'm suggesting that we form, and we are conscious always of community. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, you Therese.
Hello.
Nice to talk with you.
Thank you.
You know, what comes to me, to my mind, as we have this discussion, is number one for me is, as a community, we have to recognize the enemy. If you don't recognize who your enemy is, you're at a disadvantage. And we have to, in doing that, have to recognize that we're living in a duopoly, and we call it the Republicans and the Democrats. And many people are at one end of that duopoly or the other. And in the African-American community, at this time, it was once the Republicans, but now it's with the Democrats. We have to understand that we're gussing up to our enemy. There's no future in having freedom and justice and going in with your enemy, and I'm not understanding that his interests is with the people who run his organization politically. That's the Democrat Party, which is part of the plutocrat control, oligarch control party that runs both divisions. And that's not in our interest, because that's just part of a system that enlists all the people in the country in different sections, and you divide them up, and that way your oligarchs are at the top and the basic plutocrat group at the high end control everybody. So that's, to me, the most important thing is to get out of that duopoly, Democrat and Republican, and we got to start something else. I just don't believe in these political parties, and they're not there to benefit the masses of people in the country. And as most people who listen to a fantastic program like this know, that a significant number of people here are poor. And that's no accident, because we're living in a society where it's designed to keep a lot of people poor and a few people rich. So, number one, recognize who your enemy is and understand that you're not going to get anywhere thinking that you're going to reform the enemy, even though your enemy puts in so-called quote-unquote candidates who have a phenotype that looks like yours. Doesn't make any difference. So if they can put Obama in, and essentially nothing changes, it even gets worse. So that's what we have to do. And I know it's hard, because some people are so trained that they think that having this duopoly is a normal thing that has to happen. It doesn't. We have to get rid of the duopoly.
Could you make a suggestion, David, as to what you think is a workable idea?
Well, I say the workable idea, you have to take the first steps. And the first step for me is getting out of these parties. You know, at one time I was, when I didn't know anything, I had to do a lot of studying and reading, and I belonged to one of these parties, but I had to get out of there. I mean, it's crazy. I'm not going to join part of that duopoly that's my enemy. And I got to that realization and got out of it. And I think a lot of other people who want to get some justice in this place have to do the same thing. We just can't keep automatically voting for stuff that does not have any good for our particular interests. And that's what most people are doing. They're wishing that this would be in their interests, but Republican or Democrat, it's still not in your interest, because this is a type of capitalism that is absolutely determined to extract all the wealth of the people and of their physical wealth or their resources in the country. And it's doing that well and doing it better and better, because we're having this situation where the richer people, the oligarchs, are getting richer as everyone else gets poorer. You know, that should tell you something right there. So let's start that by getting away from genuflecting towards these parties that don't have our interests at heart. Why do we have 535 people in Congress that don't represent the interests of the people, that represent the interests of the the ruling class and not the interests of the people. The people are not their constituents, and we have to recognize that.
All right. I agree wholeheartedly. I agree wholeheartedly. I'm hoping people are listening to you and beginning to think about the questions and the issues you're raising, because I think the time has come, don't delay, the time has come to face these questions and to, for yourself, answer them. Thanks, David, for your call. It was great, by the way. I want to say it again. It was so good to be in your company, under your auspices at the community church. And it went so well. It went very, very well. And thank you once again. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. We're a little slow on our phones. Things haven't gone back to perfection yet, but they're on their way. We just have to be a little bit patient and we'll get the job done. But in the meantime, there is a way to have your voice heard about the issues that we didn't get to address for the past week. And I didn't want to go on to new things until we kind of cleaned that up a little bit. Let's figure out what is on your mind. What are your thoughts about the precarious position that we are in? That being that we seem to have been entrapped in a system with no definitive leadership that will take us anywhere close to where we want to go. It is a kleptocracy. People are stealing money left, right, and center. We have people basically daring us to do something about the fact that they routinely break the law. We have people who basically go beyond that and say, I am the law. I don't care what you think. I am the law. I have my program, and I aim to execute my plan on the strength of the people of the United States. This, you don't even get a sense of loyalty to the idea of the office. You don't get a sense of, you know, the concept of what people used to talk about long ago, about what it means to be American, that the president sees himself as part of a group process. There's no such thing. They've got access to power. They are holding the power. They're keeping the power, and they are abusing the power. And those, as David just said, the rich are getting richer. The poor are getting poorer. It cannot end well. This is not going to end well. But here's the thing. When things don't end well, the poor are the ones who suffer the most. We suffer the most. So the entreaty is to build and rebuild, reclaim our communities, because that, in the end, will be our survival, our base of support and survival. We will have absolutely nothing if we don't shore up our defenses. And the surest way to do that is to rebuild and reclaim community. And the hope is that people would understand that. Today, as I said at the top of the program, Leah Chase, she was a chef. Well, she liked to say she was a cook, and then she got used to the idea of being called chef. But look at the response. New Orleans is in full mourning. It means that this one person was such a catalyst in her community. Not for being nice, and so forth, but for doing good work all of her life, she and her husband and her business, reinvesting in community. That's why people are responding the way they are. This was a woman who took that seriously. She took service to the community very seriously. The community is now basically showing her the respect and gratitude for the fact that she stayed even after floods, even after a rise in crime, even after all these things. She stayed put. And she reinvested in the community, giving hope to people that they will not be abandoned. And so today, it's not a sad day that she is having a home going today. Well, you have to die at some point. She had 93 good years. But I'm saying, look at the effect of one person truly, truly committed. This woman had the ear of presidents, of senators, and she said all she was a cook. No, she wasn't just a cook. She was a leader in her community for all these decades and remained constant. That is the leadership we need. She still made money. She still employed people. She was still important in creating an economic undergirding where there was none. And so you ask, well, I mean, she could easily have been elected mayor if she ran. But that's not what she saw herself as having, you know, her primary objective was just making good food and making it easy for people to come together and talk about their shared concerns. And really, we have lost that knack of genuinely communicating to people that we have an interest in how things are going to turn out. We want our communities to be stable. We want our communities to provide opportunities for prosperity and progress for everyone. And this is where our protection is. This is where we must work to rebuild that. 888-874-4888. Just bear with us today. The phones are going to be very slow today. But it's okay. With patience, we'll still cope and we'll still get our job done. I'm not easily deterred, as you know. I really am not. From the way things are going, you see how incapable our leadership is, how ill-prepared it is, except for one thing, their personal interests. But Donald Trump doesn't know how to run a country. He didn't know how to run his businesses, having gone through so many bankruptcies. His administration is made up of people of that ilk. They're not making any apologies about it either. They're there to see to their financial survival, primarily. And to see to their financial survival for several generations down the road. That's what Trump is doing, and that's the example he's setting. Make money by any means necessary, and make money for several generations down the road. I'm going to open the gates for you. That's why he has such loyalty. People understand that if they stand with him, well, they have a better shot at getting their hands on pots of money. And after Trump leaves, if he does in 2020, you still have the opportunities available. These people will find jobs. They will be placed in jobs. So it continues. They're looked out for. They're running government like any other criminal organization. No different. People are looking to their interests, that is to say, their survival. What are we doing? What are we doing other than suffering? What is our plan? And when do we start to put it into play? What are we waiting for? I don't get it. Perhaps you do. 888-874-4888. Again, our phones will be very slow today, but don't let that in any way deter you. Keep trying, you'll get through. 888-874-4888. This is a discussion we should have. I long ago stopped being concerned about what they are doing. They know what they're doing. They know how things are set up, and they know that their interests are well protected and covered. We constantly are running from pillar to post. We're constantly looking for the answer. And yet the answer is right in front of us, and we just refuse to see it. We refuse to do anything about it. It's time to really see the light. Do you think that in this presidential year of 2020, we may even see glimmers, or maybe they're showing up already? I haven't seen them to any, you know, significant degree. But are you seeing evidence that people are getting the point? That they are constructing systems of survival that would pay off not just for them, but for those who come after them. And the other flip side of it is that in making these changes, they are changing the power equation in this country. Do you see that happening? Is there evidence of that in your neighborhood, your community? I read over the weekend news stories coming out of Detroit. And it was a very interesting and oblique way in which they discussed reclamation of neighborhoods. It seems, at least the stories tell about the Detroit Police Department and other law enforcement officials working with them, trying to get a handle on a man they suspect is a serial killer. Okay, ostensibly that is the story. The story is tracking down and capturing a serial killer. I was more intrigued by the method. The method that they were using was boarding up those thousands of houses that are unoccupied. And that was supposed to indicate that they have searched these buildings and houses that are not occupied. They're boarding them up so that it would indicate to those people who are conducting the search for the serial killer, we're on to you and we're ahead of you. But it immediately brought my mind and my attention to another plan. When you bought up all these properties that Detroit has refused to release to the previous homeowners themselves, to say, okay, so you're having some financial trouble, let's work out a really good plan. The houses are there. They're boarding them up. And they're boarding them up in order to keep them idle for the reoccupation of Detroit by so-called desirable homeowners. So now they have a very good excuse, a very good rationale and explanation for boarding up unoccupied houses. Well, you know there are tens of thousands of them in Detroit. You've covered that subject many, many times. And now, under the guise of hunting down an alleged serial killer, they actually are boarding up what is left of houses that could be fixed up and released to people who desperately need housing or who desperately could purchase these homes and fix them up and establish a whole new community. But that's not going to happen. You see, this is how it works. This is how it works. When people are not paying attention, right before their eyes, Detroit's citizens and residents are seeing the city essentially taking the first step in mass reoccupation of the city, but by a whole other group of people. One believes, I can't see any other way. They had the opportunity to offer these homes to the owners that they had who were struggling. They had the opportunity to offer them decent terms where they could hold on to their homes, but they didn't do that. They had them forced into evictions. They had to give up these homes, which means they gave up the land under these homes. You see, this is what I mean. People need to think differently. Why isn't there a group of or an organization that understands this kind of deceitful plan, deceptive plan to regain all of those properties that they never serviced, forcing the people to relinquish them due to non-payment of property taxes. And now all of these buildings and the land under them now available. But who is going to claim it? We will be sure that it would not be anybody like the people who occupied those properties before Detroit went downhill. So you see, you always have to pay attention. Always have to pay attention. Because the city, that's the plan. That's their plan for emptying the city. When huge swatches of land become available, they don't care about the houses, they just knock them down. The issue is the land. And we have the explanation up front. This is just last week. Announcing a massive boarding up program to discourage squatters and to discourage prostitution and to discourage crimes, because these houses are just standing there as a kind of invitation to come in and do whatever you want. We don't have watchdogs in that community. We don't have people saying, no, that's not a good plan. A better plan is for us to see how we can either encourage those who had to abandon these properties, encourage them and give them alternatives and give them the help they need to return to their properties if the properties are in good shape, or give them the value of their properties confiscated by the city. They haven't done that. But we are clear that under the guise of public safety, Detroit is now adding more and more acreage to its land. And it wouldn't be too long before it ends up in the hands of people who are close to City Hall, who know how to manipulate the system to get what they want. You see how it works? Okay. That's, you know, when I saw that idea of them boarding up, a massive boarding up program, because they want everybody in Detroit to be so safe. No. They know what they want. It's a reclamation of the properties that are in decent shape. But most importantly, right now in Detroit, if I were to make a guess, it would be the city wants the land. That's going to be the big fight. Now you're going to have a huge fight. And the people who should be in it are not in it. And there is no leadership that I've seen so far that can put an end to it, a stop to it, and really expose it for what it is. You see, this is how government operates. They think way ahead of people. And very often, you know, they're right, because they know the inner workings of the city. They know the inner workings of the city. Detroit is a prime target for, as they called it some years ago, reimagining. You're reimagining Detroit. Meaning, you empty the city of the people who historically have been there. You hold the land. And the land then goes to the highest bidder, who knows what's been going on for the last couple of years. This is the nefarious nature of government, the governments that we have now. And this is why people have to understand they got to change up fast. They have to move quickly in their own interests. Detroit is a democratic city. Look what's happened to it. Look what the Democrats allowed happened to it. Well, we have to do our part. And we must continue to stress this idea that in the end, it's land, it's community, both of which are inseparable from our collective survival. And we cannot waste any more time. And we have to make hard decisions. And we have to make those decisions in our collective interests. We have to throw some people overboard. They are of no use to us. They are hindering progress. You got to throw them overboard. Move over them. Set them aside. But we've got to make a commitment to do that. And time is running short. Time is running short. So I thank you for joining me today and for being so very patient. Look, you know, we are trying as a little engine because we know we could. It takes a little time. And this is an area in which most people will not be able to help because it's wires and programming and all these other kinds of things. So eventually things will happen and we'll be back to normal. But I'm glad that we were able to connect today. That's progress. That's great progress. And we'll connect again tomorrow and we keep on moving with a spirit of optimism that we can get something done and we can do a lot by talking to each other and inviting people into the conversation, asking for your ideas, what you're thinking, whichever way it is fine. You don't have to agree or disagree with anything. You just have to express your opinion and defend it if asked to. All right, so we see each other tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening today. And thank the engineer for helping us get through this program today. Bye-bye.
Life gives you the run around, you say. You wanna know how much dues must you pay? Well, you can have what you want to. Where there's a will, there's always a way. Keeping your eyes on that mountaintop, one step at a time. Don't ever, ever stop. Keep on when your mind says quit. Dream on till you find you're living it. I'll be right by your side. Yeah, baby, keep on. Don't stop till you win your prize. Lean on all the love that's